It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening. I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. I'm smiling right now because the beautiful woman across from me is looking at me like, what happened to that corny line that you said for 8 years about being the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, and today I'm here to manage your life. Yes, for over 8 years, I think it is, Carrie Kasem and I shared the mic on Gervie's Law, and I used that corny line, and now I don't say anything. I just say, this is Gervie's Law, and this is Jeopardy.
You dropped it completely?
Completely. I didn't just do it today for you.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing? I dropped it.
Wow, that's like a full thing. There you go, Art. Yeah.
You know, Carrie, that must be the most devastating thing in your life over the last 6 months. You've had everything smooth sailing.
Yeah. That hit me hard.
That hit you hard. I mean, I don't want to, you know, say things out of school, but condolences, you lost your cat.
I did.
Your boyfriend's done.
Yeah. But look, there's some really good things that have happened in my life.
So you've got rid of some of your dead weight friends.
That's right.
But when you heard that I don't say I'm the managing partner of your life anymore.
That was it for me. I came crashing down. Fetal position.
That's it. We're going to take her out of the corner. She's in a fetal position in the corner. Well, Carrie, welcome back to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. Always good to be back.
You know, it's been a while. I've missed you. And today's show for sure is perfect for you.
It is. Thank you for having me. And this guy, David, who you're going to introduce in a second, is just incredible. And he's a wealth of information that every single person on this planet needs to hear. I mean, I guess if you're single and alone with a cat, maybe not.
But, you know, more than that, it's Father's Day, and I think it's very special that you are here on Father's Day.
What's interesting about it is my father passed away in 2014.
Is it that long?
Yeah.
Oh,
can you believe
goodness.
It? I know.
I've known you a long time.
Yes, I know. Very long, but even before that, which is crazy.
I mean, I remember us doing the shows while your father, Casey Kasem, you know, and I'm not going to go through everything because it's been well documented, but before he passed away and then he did, and then there was drama afterward.
Oh yeah. For years and years. But what's interesting is on that day, back then it was a Father's Day. So I felt like that was a sign to us, to my brother, my sister and myself, that, you know, hey, you know,
wow.
He could have chosen any time to die. And I believe you choose that, but, you know, other people don't. It's okay. But I think that was a sign to us. But what was crazy is this last week, June 15th, was World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. And that's also the day he passed. He passed on World Elder Abuse Awareness Day and Father's Day of that year. And to me, that's just a sign to say, keep going, keep doing what you're doing. And with my nonprofit, Kasem Cares, you know, changing the laws in half the states, so there's more protection for our elderly and our families. So, it's a pretty big day today.
And, you know, when you think about it, the amount of work, efforts that you've done that have been so appreciated by so many people, because a lot of people face these struggles.
Yes.
And you've been leading the way in helping with elder abuse and estate planning and all kinds of things that are so important, were so important to your family.
Yes.
And your dad. It's such a tribute that you've done for your dad. You had a great relationship with him throughout his lifetime, and you've followed through with something that would make him so proud.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate that. I know it would.
You know, Father's Day is a special day for a lot of us. I had a really great relationship with my father, and of course he passed away. And, you know, you just take a pause. I hope everyone today takes a pause to think of all of the positive things that you get from your father and growing up, and hopefully you had a good relationship, a good experience. I know people haven't, and that's very sad. But for those of us who have, it really is meaningful today to take some time to think about all of the good things that your father provided and the relationship that you had. I mean, I love that picture of you with your head on your father's shoulder.
Yes.
It's beautiful. It's etched in my mind. I have so many pictures of me and my father etched in my mind.
Yes, that was a good one. That was the only professional photo shoot we ever did.
And really?
Together. I went to a couple of his and I jumped in for a couple pictures. But no, this is the one we did together for a magazine. And those pictures turned out to be like what, you know, Kasem cares, that iconic picture, I guess you could say, was the last 8 years. That is what people see when they think of Kasem cares, is my father and then my head on his shoulder. And we're both looking at the camera. And, you know, it's just like this, I don't know, this serene kind of look.
Yeah.
It was,
You know, and that's what it is. Pictures, you know, like they say, it just paints a real picture. And I never saw you with your father, but I can tell just by the facial expressions. You know, my father was a quiet man, and I so miss that. I'm a little bit too outspoken, and I kind of miss having that gentle, calm intellect behind me. And, you know, you try and move forward in the most positive way you can. Tell us just quickly as an update, after you left the show and we talked a lot about your situation with your father, has anything been resolved? Have you had closure from what occurred, which was so stressful while we were on the air? We lived through it with your father and your stepmom.
I mean, definitely there was closure in the fact that I continued to fight when everybody told me not to, including my own lawyers, which I fired. And got a new lawyer and continued to fight. And I did. And even though when I did win and he was taken across the country away from me and I found him in Washington and fought all over again for him and got him to a hospital, trying to save his life, I did everything I could. There was nothing more I could. And I think that if I wouldn't have done everything possible to save him and to correct the situation, I would have regretted it for the rest of my life. So there was closure in knowing that I did everything I could and that my dad was surrounded by his loved ones when he passed away, and he knew it. And he didn't die in some place with the four white walls with nothing on them and people he didn't know. And that was where it was going. And so that, and the fact that I've changed, you know, the laws in so many different states that people can use them to see their own parents that they're being kept from, or at least have a little bit of help.
You know, I think it's also just the education.
Yeah.
Maybe not everyone is in that situation, but what you've brought to the forefront is the process of thinking about this people being together, the alienation and everything. Because maybe through all your work, people have avoided situations rather than just dealing with situations after they have occurred. And if you can think back of how you can facilitate this kind of togetherness and creating an easier transition, that's amazing work for so many people. I think that, you know, since it's all come and gone, you have no regrets.
No.
And that's what you're saying. That is an objective for all of us.
Right.
No regrets.
You know, my brother and sister, my brother would always say, I wish I had one more day with him. I wish I had. Well, why? Take the time now. If you're listening to this now and you haven't told your father or your mother or somebody you love in your life, something that if they were to die today that you would want, I wish I just had another day. I wish I could have said this to him. Do it now. Life is so precious. You never know when somebody or you yourself, you know, may pass.
Yeah. Great advice to take us into the break. Very important. I want to just say after you said that, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Alan.
And I appreciate all our listeners. We're going to be back after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law with Carrie Kasem right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
To Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on AM 790 KABC.
Yes. We are back on this wonderful Father's Day. Even though before the break we talked about a few negative things, Carrie Kasem, who's here with me, of course, she co-hosted this show for approximately 8 years, and I'm so happy to have her back. You made such a positive comment at the end of the show. I mean, at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the segment.
Have I been doing this show for 10 years and I don't know what the heck a segment is?
I love
Carrie,
it.
You just take over. Tell us, because it's a good lead in to our guest.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that, you know, my brother, when my father passed, said he wished he had one more day with him. And there wasn't one thing that my father didn't know about me, good, bad, anything that I wanted to tell him, I had told him. And I felt like, wow, you know, that must really not feel good if there's something you want to tell somebody you love and they've passed or you've passed, you know, so do it now. Why wait?
And the other thing that you can do now is prepare.
Yes.
When your parents are gone or you're gone or whatever. That is the greatest gift in life. And we're going to talk to David Eady about that. But first, let me introduce him to you. For you people listening in Los Angeles may not be familiar. He is a best-selling author, speaker, and a financial planner for over 35 years. His podcast is Executor Help, and he's a certified executor advisor. Executor Help is the book. It's How to Settle an Estate Pick and Executor and Avoid Family Fights. He is a father and a grandfather, and he is in, I believe, Montreal, Canada. As a fellow Canadian, it's nice to welcome you to the show, David Eady.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Wow, you sound great. You're in Canada, but it sounds like you're next door. We're happy to have you. First of all, happy Father's Day.
Same to you. Same to you. And you said I was going to be a grandfather. Well, I'm going to be a grandfather. It'd probably be in another month or so.
Wow. Yes. That is exciting.
Congratulations.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
It's probably a little bit different being a grandfather than a father. You can spend your time with your grandchild and then go home and relax and let the young ones take care of them.
Absolutely, that's the plan.
So
we
you talk
hand it off. We can hand them off and hand her off. Sorry, it's going to be a little girl.
Oh, it is.
So we're going to hand her off and then my son can take care of it.
You know, it's so great that you said, David, that's the plan, because planning is so important. I'm going to let, I don't know if you're familiar with Carrie Kasem's story, but she can briefly give you an update. And I think planning is important. We're going to hear about that. Carrie, why don't you tell David about, you know, what you've gone through? And I know that he had
it.
It took 8 years for us to do that. So,
yeah.
And David also had an unfortunate situation that he can tell us about, which creates, I think, the reason why this is such an important show today.
It is a very important show. And it's, gosh, I wish I would have known you sooner. I'd have had you speak at my conventions that I've had for the last, you know, 10 years. But it is so important to get your will and estate plans in order. But not only that, to have that conversation, to communicate to your family members. And, you know, it wasn't with our family. There was not a lot of communication. And when even with the will and estate plans in order, everything was changed. And it was, you know, a brutal ending with my brother, my sister and I not being able to see my dad for the last year of his life, and thinking, okay, we could call the cops and they'll fix it. And they couldn't, and Adult Protective Services couldn't do anything. And we went to court and we realized very quickly that the court system couldn't do much either. And we had to go through an entire fight just to see our father. And, you know, that wasn't easy. It took a lot of money. It took a lot of time. And we didn't have a lot of time on our hands. And so it eventually just ended up with me taking over everything, firing my lawyers, getting a lawyer that, you know, said we can do this, and going for 8 months until I finally won conservatorship over my father and tried to save his life, and I couldn't. And that's a very, very condensed version of what I went through. But if it had been talked about, if it had been an open conversation, even though his wife, in my opinion, is a psychotic, if it had been an open conversation with all of us, even her in the room and lawyers, then there would have been nothing to discuss or to fight over. But that didn't happen, and it changed the course of my life.
So, David, how do you avoid that? And you can tell us about your situation because, again, you had similar issues afterward. How do you avoid it? Tell everyone how people can move on with some dignity and some happiness rather than the strife and fighting.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. Carrie, I'm familiar with your case and situation, and what you went through and what I went through, yes, there was no communications. In my case, it took 7 years, 10 court appearances, and $50,000 to settle my parents' estate, and they had a will. What the problem is, there's three types of families. There's the families that are going to ignore the subject about death, and a lot of people are either want to avoid it, they procrastinate, or they're apathetic. They don't care. And then there's the family like you and I, Carrie, who our parent did have a will, but they didn't have the conversation with everybody involved to let them know what their wishes were. Because if you have those conversations, instead of letting the paperwork do the talking, you have those conversations, and conversations matter. When you do have those conversations, it helps make it easier for the family going forward. There's no ambiguity of, you know, what did they mean? What did they think they meant? The conversations are had, and far too often that's the problem. And the third type of family is the family who do have the conversations. They want to have, leave for the next generation, and they make people comfortable that, you know, we're all going to die. This is not a sexy topic. A lot of times when I, you know, on different media outlets and have the conversation, even getting booked on the shows, producers are leery about it because it's not a sexy topic. No one likes to talk about their death, but spoiler alert, it's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah, especially on Father's Day, people don't like. It is an important and special, and you can bring love to it. I like the fact that, you know, on your podcast and in your book, you focus on the positive of this is a greatest gift that you can give your family. If you love someone, this is something that needs to be taken care of.
Absolutely, you have. You know, you never know when your family might change forever. So you need to find the time and have the conversations. I know it's going to be uncomfortable. Like, you know, in the opening you were talking about, I've been an advisor for over 35 years. Even though I would sit down with clients and they would be with a lawyer, I would be kind of the facilitator. When it came to my own parents, I left the room. I wasn't in the room when their will was being written. My other sister was there. I just couldn't fathom them, you know, we're talking about their death. And that was probably one of the biggest mistakes I made. So, you know, it is the greatest gift of love that you can give to your family, because you want to leave a legacy and not a mess. And that's what I, you know, on my podcast and in my book, is to have those conversations. You know, leaving a legacy isn't about, you know, leaving things to people. It's about what you leave them behind, what you leave behind to them. And the more conversations we have, people get more comfortable with it, the better it's going to be. You know, since we had the pandemic, people have been talking a little bit, you know, been thinking about more of their mortality, but it doesn't mean it's moved the needle. You know, still 60% of Americans still don't have a will or an estate plan, and men are more likely to have a will than women do. So, you know, by your show and me having the conversations and Carrie, you talking, you know, telling people about, you know, what you went through, hopefully it's going to start to break through. But it's a hard nut to crack. It's not a subject people want to talk about.
It's true. Very true. And I'm sorry. Alan was like pointing at me. Yeah, it's true. It's a very hard one. I tell people who are coming to me for advice and they think they may have somebody in their family that could cause some problems, I said, you need to have that conversation. You need to get everybody in a room and have the conversation. Many of them, no matter what I say, no matter how I say it, will call me up a year or 2 years later and say, I'm in the middle of it. I said, did you have the conversation? Did you tape record anything?
I want to ask something on that, because the conversation is one thing, but then there's a practical issue. And David, tell us, when we talk about who is going to be the executor, whether it should be kids, the beneficiaries, non-beneficiaries. In every situation, it can be complicated. In Carrie's situation, obviously, she didn't have a relationship with her stepmom. In fact, it was a relationship, but it was a very, very bad one. She has a brother and sister. Who should be the people who are executors or who are running the show in this?
Well, you're going to have whoever you pick, you have to realize that you're asking them the biggest favor that you're going to ever ask anybody. And the person taking on the responsibility, that also is going to be a problem, because you're asking someone to spend over 100 hours of their time, and it can take anywhere from 18 to 24 months on average. But since the pandemic, and depending on the family dynamics, it can go on, in my case, it was 7 years. For Carrie, you're saying it was like 8 years. So you're asking someone to take on this responsibility, to work with accountants and lawyers and financial advisors. And then you have to, what I call the wild card, the family dynamics. In the book, I talk about the triangle of conflict. If you've got one of these issues, either there's no will, there's a second marriage, or the siblings don't get along. If you've got even one of those issues, the job of an executor has just gotten a whole lot more difficult. And when you're going to pick an executor, you want to figure out who can handle the job, who's good at administrative things, because no one is primed for the job. No one is set out, understands how do you get started. So you're going to need to work with an accountant. You're going to need to make sure the right tax return is filed. You want to make sure there's a lawyer. You want to work with a financial advisor. Those are your three professionals that you want to work with.
In one word, we got to take a break, but in one word, sure. Should the kids be executors?
Yes, but under certain circumstances.
All right, we'll pick up on that after the break. He can be found at davidedy.com. The book is called Executor Help, and we will be right back.
Listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on AM 790 KABC.
And we're back on Father's Day. We're talking to David Edie. He is a best-selling author and a speaker. He's been a financial planner for many years. His podcast is Executor Help. The Executor Help podcast. It's a great podcast. I listen to a lot of the shows. They're not super long, so he gets the point across really quickly. In fact, one of them had Melissa Penelon, and I was listening to it, and she talked about the questions that you wish you had asked.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about questions specifically that should be asked before it's too late.
Well, with Melissa, she wrote the book because of her mom, and there's a lot of questions that popped up that she wished she had asked. What was her life like? What was she like when she was a teenager? And now, because of having Melissa on, I'm now writing using her book for my grandchild. I'm older, but when I get on in years, maybe there's things every day or something comes to me that I'm going to write about, I don't know if my wisdom's going to pass on, but things that you want to pass on to the next generation. You want to have conversations that matter. ICU is no place to find out that there's no will or we don't know what the estate plan is. And I can assure you, you can't have a meaningful conversation with anybody when they're on a respirator. So you need to have the conversations. You need to express what you would like.
It's funny you say that. It just reminded me back in 2007, I was in a situation, I'm not going to mention any names, but someone close to me was in the hospital and he was, you know, basically comatose on a respirator. And his wife at the time went to the doctors and took them aside and said, can you wake him up for a minute because he has to sign a legal document regarding his assets? And the doctor came up to me and he said, is she crazy? And I just didn't answer that. But anyway, it's a good point you make.
It's the inevitable is going to happen to all of us. Again, it's not sexy, but when we resist anything, especially when it comes to this subject, we put our families in danger. And, you know, my book and the podcast is about, again, leaving a legacy, not a legacy in a mess. And you want to do these things and get organized so that you don't leave your family in chaos. Now, the lady now asking, you know, the doctor to try and wake up the husband, that family's now in chaos. They're disorganized.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, look, I've heard so many guardians, and these are the nasty guardians, not the ones that actually care, the ones who will change wills or estate plans or do deceitful things. And my friend was at a guardianship conference with a ton of guardians. And one of them, this woman in Washington, got up, and one of the questions asked was, well, how do you get your clients to sign things when they are, you know, they're out? And their last you know, days. And she said, you just turn the morphine down, you wake them up, and then you turn it back up. Like you can't not, I mean, there's not a worse frame of mind than coming out of morphine, being in pain, not knowing anything, and then having your clients sign something that destroys the rest of your family and gives them all your money and all the you know, power. And this is what's happening in this country. I'm not sure about Canada. I know I've had letters from Canada saying it happens up there as well. But
yeah, is there a difference, David, between Canada and the United States?
No, there's bad people on both sides. It doesn't matter.
And what about the laws? For instance, you know, I live here in the United States. My brother and sister in Canada, in Toronto. We, so far, you know, we've had our discussions and, you know, we're pretty much on the same page. Do you think there'll be a problem? The three of us have decided we're all going to, you know, take care of things together. Is there a problem?
Are you named
yes.
All three of you
yes.
as executors?
Yes.
Well, then the only thing is that any, papers that have to be, signed or have to be signed by all three of you. But there shouldn't be any problems, especially if you're all getting on and there's been open family discussions.
Right. And it doesn't matter that one's in the United States and one's in, and two are in Canada.
They're going to need three signatures to do things.
Right. And that's the discussion we had. That's a prime example of what you're talking about. You know, we understand that it's not as simple, but you know, it's, you know, the choice of the parent and the kids.
Right.
And if you're all in agreement, then, you know, that's one step in the right direction. It doesn't mean that it's going to stay that way.
Right. Well, in my case, because even though everything was supposed to be split three ways, one sibling couldn't go along with that. So that's how we ended up in court. But we were all three named as executors. So what I did to keep the process moving, I renounced and just let two of them do the signatures. Carry forward, because it was just dragging on for no reason at all. So if the three of you are getting on and you don't see any problems, maybe to speed up the process, instead of, since they're both in Toronto, maybe you renounce and just get the process going faster. But then again, it's going well now, but who knows in the future? Because it's funny that Carrie, you had the story, Alan, you had a story, we've all got stories, and that's how I ended up writing the book, is that every time I would tell just my story, I'd hear about two more stories about an executor that was having a problem or about a family that's been broken up. And I didn't want people to go through what I went through, but it's a constant, it's sort of a dirty little secret that people don't want to talk about. And as much as we're saying, well, you know, different families are will be fighting and stuff like that. There's still the families who bury their head. They don't want to have the conversation because they figure out, oh, you know what? We get together at Christmas and we have a great time. And, you know, and in the summer we get together, we get at the cottage and, you know, Aunt Louise brings the potato salad and we're all getting along. But when somebody dies in that family, you have absolutely no idea how they're going to behave when there's an inheritance. Mm-hmm. You have absolutely, and people who you thought you knew, they're going to change because when someone's leaving a legacy, they think that they're leaving a gift. When someone's the beneficiary or someone's going to inherit, they only see dollar signs and they're not interested, especially if you're the executor, not interested in what you have to go through to settle that estate. They're only interested in the check.
And it's really, it's too bad because you see these people change. They change into some of the monsters and you think you know somebody so well. And then you get money involved and then you know who their true character is. But there, some of them have no understanding or ability to understand, no matter how many times you tell them that this money is now being drained because we're in court, we're trying to make decisions, and your inheritance is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it doesn't, they just have no comprehension of that. So you have somebody who's unwilling. Is there anything, you know, that you could do to handle that? You know, I always believe in checks and balances and not making one person an executor or making one person, you know, a guardian. You know, you've got to have checks and balances. But when it comes to siblings who may not get along, I always feel like maybe the parents should choose somebody else besides the siblings. What do you think about that?
I would go along that, you know, a trust company or a bank that has executor services. But then it might be a little bit more costly because this is a third party that's getting involved. They're not interested in the family drama. And if you feel, you know, the testator who's writing the will there, if you're feeling that there's going to be drama and you don't want the family to break up, then give it to a third party to handle it. But then again, you need to have that conversation because the kids might say, well, why didn't you pick us? And, you know, it all comes down to communication. Even if you had, you know, two executors or three executors that are the children, they need to have communication amongst each other. And you have to have the communication with the beneficiaries. It doesn't take much. If you go a week or two and you don't say what's going on, someone's going to start looking at you sideways. What are you doing? Why is it taking so long?
Yes.
What are you up to? So, and it doesn't take long for a beneficiary to want to take you to court. And it could be something is frivolous or want to have you removed as executor. So communication is key if you're going to be the executor, but communicate, by Zoom or every 2 weeks, an email to the beneficiaries. Just let them know what's going on, what's happening. It may not be at their pace of what they want, but at least keep them informed of what's going on.
Yeah.
What do you think should be the optimal time spent on it? Because it kind of scared me listening to you earlier when you said, what did you say, 100 hours to settle and 18 to 24 months, whatever. That seems to be a lot of time when you're talking about grieving and hopefully, you know, thinking about the person who's passed away. Is there a way to expedite things so that you don't look at it in such a long, drawn-out process?
Well, in the first chapter of my book is just about the grieving. I've got a client who's actually going through he passed away, and I was talking. My book came out in September. He got the book probably in October. So we're now in June. He recently passed away 3 weeks ago. And I was on the phone with his daughter, who was named the executor. And, you know, she says, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. I said, you know what? First thing you need to do is grieve. You and your mom need to grieve. And all of the other stuff, it's not going to go anywhere. So especially if you're the executor, you feel everything is coming down on you. So that's why, and I went through it. And that's why I thought about when I was writing the book, the first thing I need to do is get over the grief. There is nothing more painful, especially as a child, that you had to bury your parents. And I lost both my parents within 18 months of each other. both to cancer. Mm. So it was just like, it was gut-wrenching. And it's something, you know, I miss their voices every day, and it stays with me every day. But it's the grieving, and it's changed the direction of my life and in our family life going forward. So you've got to get over that grief and know it's always going to be there, and then work on, okay, what's the next steps? That's why on my website I've got free resources, you know, an executor checklist that people can download. And, you know, at least know these are the jobs I got to take care of. But you need to take care of yourself, take care of your family, and get through the grief process. It's never going to leave, especially if it's going to be with a parent.
Yeah, you know, that's great advice, David. The website is davidedy.com, E-D-Y.com. The book is Executor Help, How to Settle an Estate, Pick an Executor, and Avoid Family Fights. The podcast is Executor Help Podcast. It's the one-stop shopping for all of your executor needs and estate planning. David, I want to thank you on this Father's Day for taking the time coming to talk with us about it. Such an important subject. I know Carrie
absolutely
feels it's been meaningful for her, too.
Thank you so much, David.
I thank you, Alan and Carrie, for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks. All right. We're going to be right back on this Father's Day to see what else we can talk about with Carrie Kasem right here on Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, we are back. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. That was an important interview on Father's Day to talk about things that a lot of people don't like to talk about, but it's important that we do.
I agree, and I think everybody needs to have that conversation because it is so painful if you don't, especially if you have family members that are, there's a little contentious, you know, behavior there, or there's a, you know, step-parent and you don't get along or whatever it may be.
So let's turn a little bit to a more positive subject, even though that is, I would guess you could consider it to be positive. Think of a memory right now with your father and... Tell us, when you think about your father, what's a simple memory?
Simple memory is taking a walk. We took walks when they were together. My mom and dad were together. My dad would take us on this walk, and it would go all the way up the hill and down around, and it was a pretty long walk. And he would tell us all the stars that would live. You know, well, that's where Diane Carroll is. That's where Smokey Robinson is. Steven Spielberg used to live here.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we'd walk around. It was the hills of Beverly Hills, way up in the hills. And then we would sit down and have our little sandwiches. And I just love that walk.
Yeah.
And I just, it was.
That I can picture it. I can picture it. You know, when I think about it, I can picture, you know, I coach my kids in baseball, softball. It's not about the coaching. It's not about the actual sports. It's about spending time together. When you talk about the walk, I think about even, you know, this last weekend, we were driving out to Thousand Oaks or to Oxnard or Ventura to these tournaments. And it's just being in the car with the kids, having the time, walking up to the field with their gear.
Yes.
You know, I just think about my kids and I think about those special moments that are just kind of innocent moments.
Absolutely. And speaking of your kids, you know, we have a little surprise for you.
Really?
Art and I came up with something. Art, are you ready? All right. Hey, guys.
Happy Father's Day.
It's my kids. Thank you. Are you both there?
Yeah.
It's so cute. I haven't seen you guys in so long. It's so great to hear your voices. Yes, and what are you going to do for Father's Day?
We're going to go to dinner.
Going to go to dinner. We have tournaments. Both of you have Father's Day tournaments. So we're playing baseball and softball. Harper, you're playing softball with the All-Star team. And Fuzzy sounds like he's excited. Is he wishing me happy birthday, too?
Happy Father's Day.
See, dogs don't know. He's wishing me a happy birthday when it's Father's Day.
He has no idea.
Did you tell Fuzzy to wish me a happy Father's Day?
Yeah.
So cute.
So you have, Harper, you have your All-Star softballs, and Hudson, you have your All-Star baseball. So that's how some dads spend Father's Day, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Sometimes fathers feel like they want to be with their kids. That's the gift, being with your kids versus being showered with attention and everything else. But you can still shower me with attention. You want to do something nice for me?
You always make me feel better when I'm sad.
Aww.
Really?
So sweet.
Well, I try. It's hard sometimes because when you're sad, I'm sad. And so it's hard. And that was Harper. What about Hudson?
I love how you always make me laugh.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh too.
You know, laughter is the best kind of way to look at life, to have fun. I always say when you guys are playing whatever sport, if it's basketball, baseball, hockey, whatever, softball, I always say, what do I always say? You know what I say when I say the last words that I say to when you go out on the field or on the ice or on the court. What do I say?
Have fun.
That's right. Have fun. Every time it's have fun because that's the most important thing. And that's why, you know, when Harper... when you're feeling bad and I try and make you feel better in Hudson, I try and make you laugh. It's all about having fun and sharing a special relationship. You remember Carrie, you haven't seen her for a while, but you know, she had a special relationship with her father and you guys have a special relationship with your mother and me, of course. But we're just talking about me because it's Father's Day. We talked about mommy on
Mother's Day. Exactly.
So I'm looking forward to spending the time with you, and I know you guys look forward to it. And you have summer coming up. What are you going to do this summer? You going to go anywhere special?
Yeah, we're
going to
go to Winnipeg.
Oh. The first time.
We're going to go to sleepaway camp there.
Oh, how fun. What do you guys get to do at camp? What's your favorite thing to do?
Swimming.
Oh. Do you have a lake to swim in, or is it a swimming pool?
It's a lake.
Ooh, that's
yeah.
The best.
They've never been. They've never been to Winnipeg, and then they're going to a wilderness sleepaway camp for the first time. I'm very proud of them that they are excited to go, and you're going to have a lot of new experiences. So that will be fun. It's a camp that I went to when I was a little boy. And what else are you going to do? Are you going anywhere else? you haven't. If you are, you don't know.
So cute.
We'll have some surprises. Your mom and I will have some surprises, and you're going to meet a lot of new kids at camp. That's what's going to be fun, and you have to both finish up your All-Star seasons before we go. That'll be fun too. And then you can do some other stuff. What else are you going to do? Go to camp around here?
Yeah.
What's that called? A day camp?
Yeah.
Did you go to camp, Carrie, when you were...
I did. I was always shipped off to camp.
Did you hear it says we're shipping you off?
Yeah. I think you're doing it in like a very loving way and to have fun. My mom was like, I need a break. I went to horse camp. Which was my most favorite of all the camps. We did church camp as well. So
did you do a sleepaway camp?
Oh yeah, we were gone. We were out.
Oh yeah.
And Ojai Valley School had a camp. It was like a school camp thing that I went to. I loved. Did hiking camps. We were up in Yosemite, and that was really fun.
Oh yeah.
And then my Outward Bound camp, which I don't think was meant for fun.
That's fun, though. I love Outward Bound.
Yeah. No.
And that's kind of like what you guys are going to do, Hudson and Harper, because Carrie's talking about Outward Bound, and you're going to be out kind of in the wilderness. You're going to sleep in a cabin on bunk beds. Are you going to be on the top or bottom? What do you think?
Top.
Top. What about you, Hudson?
Top.
Top?
I guess they're sleeping together.
No, they're in different cabins.
Oh, okay.
The girls in the boys' cabin. And you're going to be out making fires and having cookouts and s'mores probably. And I'm trying to think what else you're going to do. You do singing and arts and crafts and go on hikes and canoe. You're going to learn how to canoe. Have you ever canoed before?
Yes.
You said that at the same
so
time.
Cute.
Yeah. You know, but when you've canoed most of the time, I think mommy and daddy have done most of the work and you've sat in the middle enjoying the ride. But that's all ending. Now you're going to be the ones driving the canoe, rowing and paddling to make sure that you're going in the right direction. You're going to learn how to paddle. Does that sound fun?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have to close the show, but I want to thank you for surprising me and calling in to wish me a happy Father's Day. Is there anything else you want to say to your daddy before we close the show?
I think they're gone. I'll say some nice things.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Hey.
Happy Father's Day, Alan. Thank you for everything you do for Hudson and Harper. You are selfless, coaching, baseball, softball, basketball, driving to hockey. You come home. You help with their homework. You cook for them. You're always organizing everything, and we appreciate you very much.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. Yeah, it's the number one thing in my life is being a husband and a father.
That's awesome.
Carrie Kasem, and thanks, Nancy, for all that, and thanks for telling the kids to call me. Carrie, thanks for being here. It's been so much fun.
Thanks for having me. This is a great show.
Doing the show with you again.
Super.
And we're thinking of your father, my father, and every father out there on this Father's Day. Thanks for listening.